Good evening, welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. We're going to try and make it a little bit better for you. We have a show full of hot topics, everything everyone's talking about. I want to remind you, it's early voting in many of the states, so check your, see what your state is doing and make sure you vote. All right, so we're breaking down Kanye West and Candace Owens on the headlines for their comments about George Floyd's death. They're saying that he did not die from the police officer's knee on his neck. He died from high levels of fentanyl in his system. And of course, he's getting a lot of backlash. He did a recent interview, Kanye did, on Drink Champs, where he talked about George Floyd. He talked about Diddy, talked about Meek Mill. And, you know, he's venting as he always does. He's also looking to buy a controversial conservative-oriented social media app, Polar. He's in conversations with them. Apparently, you can't be canceled on their site. Now, the site was taken down last year over the January 6th insurrection. But he's buying that now. Then we have two of our favorite foods that we eat that are on high demand and there's a shortage of them. Find out what they are. Then find out about the 91-year-old civil rights pioneer who was stabbed multiple times walking her dog, but she fought back, so did her dog, and she's here to tell the story. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics, right back after this.
Baby, I got to see. Ain't nothing that- You know what? I've been thinking. I can't even get through to you. I'm trying to talk to you, and all you do is push me away. What's wrong with you?
Hey, this is Joy Starr, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. We have another show of straight hot topics, everything everyone's talking about. So I hope you enjoy. I want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. If you'd rather watch us, go to our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show, comment, subscribe, and let us know what you think. All right, well, it is early voting in a lot of the states, so make sure you get out and vote. I would say it doesn't matter who you vote for, but it really does, especially in Georgia. But make sure you vote, and you can do it now, you know, so check your see what your area is doing if you can vote. If I knew it started today, I would have voted today, but I didn't know that till this evening. But anyway, all right, well, our question of the day is, what is the most toxic trait about your zodiac sign? I'll start with you, Lania. First of all, what's your sign?
I'm a Gemini.
Gemini, oh, okay. My sister is too.
I hold the grudge. I hold the grudge. I am the grudge holder.
You can hold a grudge?
I don't forget nothing. It'd be 1985, Tuesday at 4 p.m. I hold the grudge. I'm going to bring it back out. I'm going to go to that filing cabinet. Remember when, she gave me, no. Remember when? I hold the grudge.
Let me amend the pettiness.
And I'm petty. Well, I mean, that's the same thing. Petty and grudge, same thing.
What about you, Chike? First of all, what's your sign and what's your toxic trait?
I am Taurian. Mm-hmm. And stubbornness. Although, as I mature, I grow out of that. It used to be a lot worse when I was younger, a lot worse. Mm-hmm. But as you mature and you realize some things, you tend to mellow out.
Yeah.
Can I add shady?
I own it.
What about you, Naya?
I'm a Capricorn. And I think I can be, well, I used to be mean. I could be mean. Yeah, I could be really mean. Yeah, I could be mean.
I can see that.
I cannot see Naya being mean.
Like, you know, like hair bears and kumbaya, you know, and stuff. I can't even see it.
Yeah, like in a cold way, in a very cold, distant way. Yeah.
I can see Naya being very standoffish.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you this about Naya, though. When he joined the show and he was helping with some behind the scenes things, he was very direct with me. I was like, I didn't notice that, Naya. He was about his business. I will say that. Well, me, I'm a Pisces, and I don't know if it's a toxic trait, but we're always in the clouds. Like, everything's going to work out perfectly. Everything just, you know what I mean? We're dreamers. And I'm definitely that. And it bit me in the butt a couple times. But tweet us at home and let us know what is your most toxic trait about your zodiac sign. Actually, I'm going to read some of the ones from Facebook because it was some funny things that they said. Someone said, we're perfect. They're a Gemini. Someone said, they're Pisces. They're too sensitive. Whatever. Someone said overthinker, Gemini, stubborn. I don't know what the sign was. Someone said they're a Cancer. I don't know your sign. Someone said Taurus gives too much to others. Someone said they're stubborn, but I don't know their sign. Someone Aries said they have attitude. Sagittarius said nonchalant about everything. A Leo, so pretty much nothing wrong with us.
Wow.
This girl, she didn't put her sign, but I know her sign. She's a Leo. She said everyone thinks we want to be the center of attention when really we're just social. But there are a lot of other ones. Someone said expecting others to be on my level or shut up talking to me. Capricorn, triple Capricorn, actually. Someone said they're Sagittarius/Capricorn. They said putting people on pedestals before they prove themselves. Or if you really mess over me, I get multiple chances. Don't even try to rekindle the friendship, or at least not right away. It will take a lot for me to trust the person again. This guy, he said that he, I guess he's a Sagittarius, or Capricorn. He said logic over emotion, so you got to be useful. Someone said Aquarius, my way or the highway. And one girl, she put Libra, very balanced. I heard Libra women are mean. All right, well, tweet us a whole lot. Let us know what is your toxic trait. All right. Candace Owens. So if you come for her, you better be prepared for a response. A controversial Republican clapped back at a commenter on Twitter who said that she should be sued following George Floyd's family speaking out against comments that her and Kanye made. Now, this comes after Kanye's offensive comments about George's death during his recent appearance on Drink Champs. Candace reposted Rolling Stone's article sharing the news, writing, George Floyd's
Candace is a trip, man. Candace Y'all is a trip. Yeah, you Candace know? Is a trip, right?
Stephen froze.
But we're not live. There he goes.
Oh, that's right.
All right, so
Stephen, you froze.
I know, I heard you. All right, so George Floyd's family, she said he didn't even stop by the house to collect his belongings. They left his car and personal items abandoned in his house. Now they're mad. My documentary tells the truth about the fatal levels of fentanyl discovered in his autopsy. She then clapped back on a comment who said she should be sued. If you recall, during the episode of Drink Champs, Kanye falsely said George's death was caused by a deadly drug, fentanyl, backing the claim, citing Candace's documentary he saw last week. The rapper said, I watched the George Floyd documentary that Candace Owens put on, and he told hosts Noriega and DJ Effin, whatever, one of the things that his two roommates said that they want a tall guy like me. And the day that he died, he said a prayer for 8 minutes. They hit him with fentanyl. If you look, the guy's knee wasn't even really on his neck like that. Now, Lee Merritt, Floyd's family's attorney, says the family feels betrayed by Kanye West's claims. They said, I anticipate by the end of the week, we'll at least have an idea of what claims are viable and what parties might be involved. At that time, the decision will be made whether or not to pursue trial litigation. Nair, I'll start with you. So Candace has this new documentary about George Floyd, and she's stating the reason why he died was fentanyl levels, the levels of fentanyl in his body. Kanye's backing her up on that. What's going on?
Oh, man. Shit, man. Oh, that cursed on the air.
You can curse on the
air. What's going on? Steven, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. Trying to be objective, as we just rediscovered, I'm a Capricorn, so I try to think logically. I always try to think logically. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult sometimes. So again, I have to try to figure out where they're coming from with that. The sources, so where this is coming from, the individual Candace, Kanye, I'm not really sure of their motives of why they want to, what are they trying to unravel or uncover here? A man died. And I think I align with Sean King and the idea where I read something where he said, it doesn't matter, you know, who George Floyd was as a person, you know, how good or how bad he may have been, his trials, his challenges. None of us are perfect, which we all know that. It doesn't even need to be said. A man died, and a man died in a very casual fashion, in police restraint. That's a fact.
And publicly.
Publicly.
Yeah.
If he was on fentanyl and all those other things, he would not have died on those things, perhaps, outside of police restraint. Mm-hmm. A man died in police restraint. That's very clear and very true. Those other things may be a part of the equation. But people take fentanyl every day, mm-hmm. you know, and then some of them are dying. Not all of them are dying, you know. So, but you add elements into that, such as, you know, keeping someone restricted in their breathing or other things, they're gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, man. That's a big one for me. I'm still unpacking that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, Chicken, what are your thoughts on all this?
So JFK was screwing Marilyn Monroe. Does that make him a bad president?
Right.
So I've been paying attention to a pattern with Mr. Kanye. It seems like every time he gets on some type of soapbox, we get a new project from him. So pay attention. Candace Owens is trying to push her documentary. When did she become a filmmaker?
Right.
And it's also election season too. So she has, you know, not that she's a politician or anything, but her big buzz normally comes around voting time and with the Republican Party, and she's looking for a spotlight. Mm-hmm. Kanye's also looking for a spotlight, but I do believe that he probably will drop some new music in the next 2 months, so be aware. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that they're just talking to be talking. They're talking for attention in a spotlight, in a soapbox, and a mic.
Yeah. I read somewhere on social media, someone said they feel like Candace is taking advantage of Kanye, his mental health, and she's using it to her advantage. What are your thoughts?
In each other.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like piggybacking just off of something she said. Bill Clinton got his Johnson sucked.
Yep.
President Obama said he tried weed and some other form of hard drugs when he was in college. Just trying to figure out what that means. I know I done some stuff, but that don't make me a bad person. You know how I feel about
it. You don't deserve to die. that no. way. No matter no, what no, you no. feel.
Right. Oh no, I'm talking about Candace and Kanye, how I feel about them. I don't care for either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because she did a whole red carpet in regards to this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanye was there, Ray J was there. I would love to know who else was in that room.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know who else was there. And it's supposed to be the truth. No, honey, that's your narrative that you've shaped.
Right.
That you feel is a truth because you don't know any of those people personal.
Right.
It's nothing to do with you. The same way that we had, you know, like they got all this Jeffrey Dahmer stuff going on, is something different in each and every one. You getting something different in each and everything that they got going on about Jeffrey Dahmer right now. From different people, that yeah. different people that wasn't even a part of it, but they're giving their perspective on what they think, but they don't really know. It is election season. I had signed up for mail-in voting a long time ago, so I actually just mailed back my ballot today. Mm. I wish I was in Georgia,
yeah.
Because I would be on it. I would be out there with. I wholeheartedly wish to God Stacey Abrams. But I really don't understand. You know, it's not for me to understand. All I know is I refuse to watch that episode. And I love Drink Champs.
Yeah.
I refuse. I don't even want to hear that dude voice. Yeah. I don't even want to hear her voice. They both got punchable faces, if you ask me. Can I rewind real quick? When she was in high school.
Yeah.
She got picked on real bad by some, people.
Her brothers and sisters.
Yes, she got picked on. And it was the NCAA
yeah.
who came to her defense and her aid. It was the Black people who rallied around her.
Yep.
And she got paid.
Mm-hmm.
But it was those same people that you fighting for right now that was threatening your life.
Yep.
Wanted you dead.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted you out of here. Boom, but yep. Look at you capitalizing off of our backs.
Right.
Can we get a hashtag started about toxic Black people? It's like, ooh. Yay boy,
ooh.
This candy girl,
ooh.
The Herschel Walker man.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't even know his name, that other politician, the one that was running for office, and I call him Coon.
Cameron.
There it is.
Oh, Daniel Cameron.
Toxic Black people.
Yeah.
Right there. And that Herschel Walker debate.
Did you watch that?
Steven, I know that people sitting back enjoy.
I'm a cop.
Right.
I can't wait for Saturday Night Live to turn that into a skit.
Yep. Yeah,
I can't wait because I know it got to be coming. It got to be coming Saturday Night Live, please.
You know, it's, when I was watching the debate, you know, I will say this, and I've heard people say it. He did do better than I thought he would. Herschel Walker did. You can tell they prepped him really well. But he comes from that same book of loud and attack, like Trump. That's what he does. Well, Warnock was trying to keep the peace, I guess, being the pastor. But he did get him on that, I've never tried to pretend I was a cop.
And he really did, because he did try to pretend he was a cop. And didn't he pull out a gun on cops or something like that?
Yeah.
You have multiple baby mamas, and you had a baby mama who had an abortion. And now, do I get to keep going? Because you're doing everything. You done broke all the
stuff. You know, now, remember he said
the speech therapist.
Yeah. Well, even though they normally don't diagnose CTE until someone is deceased, he's walking with CTE.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the woman came out that he paid to have the abortion. I saw the interviewer ask him, "Is this your signature on the check?" And he said, "It doesn't matter if my signature. That's my check, but that's not why I gave her the money for."
I'm gonna tell you what. That first, that fool said he ain't know her, but she already got a kid by him.
Yes.
So how ain't know her? Y'all already got kids together.
Right.
See, together.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know her?
No. Nope.
And now your little son, now he going crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that son is, you know,
yeah,
that one. Because right. He's extra with his mouth.
Yeah. He's a Candace Owens too, that guy. All right, well, speaking of Kanye, so you know, he goes by Ye, he agreed to purchase a controversial conservative oriented social media app, Parler. The network announced today, according to NBC News. Parler sells itself as an alternative to other apps like Facebook and Twitter, with a emphasis on free speech and uncancelable space. Last year, it was taken offline for its connection to the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. The social media platform is helmed by George Farmer, the husband of fellow outspoken Black conservative Candace Owens. The news comes just a few weeks after the rapper was locked out of Twitter account and restricted on Instagram following widespread backlash over anti-Semitic posts. The parent company of Parler, Parliament Technologies, announced it has entered into an agreement in principle to sell Parler to Kanye, who has been taking a bold stance against his recent censorship from big tech. They say, in a world where conservative opinions are considered to be controversial, we have to make sure that we have the rights to freely express ourselves. Actually, that's what Kanye said in the statement. Now, last year, Google, Apple, and Amazon suspended the social network, again, because of its connection to the January 6th attacks. Now, both parties will enter into a definite purchase agreement, with the deal expected to close by the end of this year, with ongoing technical support from Parliament and infrastructure, according to the terms of the initial agreement. The terms of the proposal transaction would include ongoing technical support, such blah, 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 blah. So this is what they said about Kanye. Kanye is making groundbreaking moves into the freely speech media space and will never have the fear of being removed from social media again. He proves that he is one step ahead of the legacy media narrative and will be honored, and they'll be honored to help him achieve his goals. So we talked about the interview he did. He also spoke out against Diddy and some other people, you know, in that recent interview he did with that show. I'm trying to see what is his goal, because now, you know, I remember he supported Trump. He still speaks very highly of Trump in the last election. And now he's buying a conservative social media platform where they utilize, they communicated on there to plan the January 6th attacks and things like that, and the right wing social media platform. Linnea, why would he be interested in this?
Because he's stupid. I'm sorry, I don't have nothing else, Stephen. Like, I really don't, at this particular juncture.
Yeah.
I don't know what his angle is. I don't even care what his angle is. Wherever he's gonna go, gone. Mm. Don't go over there.
Yeah.
Because it's, I know that he mentioned something about calling Diddy and Meek Mill, like saying that he was working for the feds. And like he said a lot of things, because you know, my boyfriend's really trying, he's trying to make me listen to the snippets. Yeah, y'all know y'all gonna be talking about it on the show. I don't care. Like, it's just, I hate to even say that, it's frustrating. But the only thing that I could think of is J. Cole's song, False Prophets, period. I'm done.
Yep. Nair, why is he buying, I mean, we don't know inside his head, but what do you think when he's buying the social media platform?
For what he's doing, obviously, to do some you know, releases and to get good data on these type of people who are on social media platforms, no matter what their political affiliations are, it's still data. So yeah. It's probably a decision for him sociopolitically, but really more on the back end of numbers and business, somehow, some way to use this as an extension of his branding and business and business model. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. I gotta pose the question to y'all real quick. I mean, the man is a multi-billionaire. Like, he has more money than Jay-Z. Like, what do we make of that, though? Because he's not a dumb broke man. You know what I mean? Like, he's a really, really wealthy Black man that's doing all this stuff that we have questions about. What do we make of this? Is it something that we just don't see? Are we missing something?
I don't know what the deal is, because it's like, because he's targeting this demographic of people who probably don't buy his music, probably don't even listen to his music like that. Their kids probably do. I don't understand the angle. Like, there's so many people. It's like he's intentionally trying to be controversial, because even with this George Floyd thing, the whole world stopped when that happened. We had protests and we had riots all over the world. And now you're gonna come out telling us he died of fentanyl? I mean, I just don't get the where he's going with this.
So go ahead, GK.
No, I was waiting. I was waiting.
So you kind of danced around it a little bit for me, Steve. But I'm like, yeah. But would he do? So let me rephrase it. Would Kanye do something that would, like, does he want to be broke? Because if he's doing things that are not beneficial to his business, I mean, would he do that?
A narcissist would.
They would just crash out.
Look at the things that his godfather's doing. Look at the things that orange man was doing. A lot of those things would be to his own detriment.
I'm like his godfather.
No, man, come on. He would not do, but I mean, really, he's getting richer and richer. He's getting richer and richer.
No, I don't know. So I heard something. I don't know if it's true. This whole deal, right? With that girl and her master, this whole deal, allegedly they were headed towards bankruptcy. Mm. And now you got Kanye going in, you know what I mean, considering buying it. Like, how did you even mixoplex that to have that conversation in order? Because I guarantee you, let's just say, and I'm just using this as a number. Let's say it's 100 people on that platform, right? No. Out of 100 people, probably only 5 know who he is.
Right. No way.
Know who he is.
L Boogie, that man is famous. No.
I know he's fake, but what I'm saying is, if he goes on that site, right, they're not there for his music. So if you're buying it, they're not there for your music. Mm-hmm. So what is the problem? I don't understand.
Black people don't buy Kanye's music.
No, because I could have swore. Maybe not now, but...
We might buy into the platforms that have his music available, but his music is, most of it is on a different platform anyway, Jay-Z's platform, but he does have a good deal still available on other platforms. But we buy into streaming services that have his music. And when's the last time you heard somebody say they was going to a Kanye concert or show or at all? You know, it's white people who buy, it's the other people that buy his products. They spending all that money on his Yeezy foams and shoes. And we do too. Have you seen these sneakerheads and all these guys who buy all of this stuff? Yeah, this stuff that he sells, they the ones that's buying it like that. With the rare few.
When I was in Cabo, I saw many people with Yeezys on. They were black. And when he came out to Atlanta for his album release party, and he did it, I think at the football stadium, it was packed and black people.
And they had stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, black people buy his clothes and apparel too, but more of them buy that stuff. More of them have that money to get his merch. They constantly are getting it.
Even before this, Nair, like before he ventured into the fashion part of this, black people is the reason why he got to where he is.
Yeah.
First two albums, correct. I agree.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking, you had to start from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So your start was from us.
I agree. I agree.
I literally bought CDs.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You understand what I'm saying? So I'm talking about that part, that transition, because from there is how you were able to keep going from us. Because we loved you at one point.
He married into other. They gave him different things to think about. They gave him a different path.
Yeah, and he's become a multi-billionaire off of the thing that I believe other people support the most. He didn't become a billionaire off of his music catalog.
No.
None of them have done that yet. He became a billionaire off of his stake in his own brand, which is that Yeezy brand that sells ridiculously to the, you know, we buy it too, but we'll get the stuff hot mostly or through some channel if we don't got the money to get it through the real sources. But there are other people, they go on auctions and they go to the sources and they camp out and all of that to get his merch and his gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about him, I think about the image of a snake eating its own tail. And I think that it's going to be a matter of time, but he's going to consume himself.
Because he's two-faced.
You think he's going to crash?
I think he's going to.
Something's going to happen.
And I would not doubt if he had stake in this documentary that's coming. That's why he's jumping on that bandwagon. He probably helped produce it, or he probably gave her money toward it. And as far as the platform is concerned, why wouldn't he support something where he can be the most him that he could possibly be? Why not?
Yeah.
And he can be like his idols, Elon Musk. He can be like his idol. Didn't his godfather purchase a platform that failed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his whatever.
He wants to be
social,
other.
True social. True social.
Other makes him think that he is other.
Mm-hmm.
To think that he really identifies as black anymore.
Yeah.
So he said he's a billionaire. He doesn't. He did mention something about, I'm a billionaire. I'm not black. I'm a billionaire.
Something
like that.
Wow. Where did he say that?
It was like a interview he had did. I came across it. He says something about, he's like, I'm not black, I'm a billionaire. I got money, I'm rich.
OJ said the same thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Snake eating its own tail. Snake eating its own tail.
There you go.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Find about the 91-year-old civil rights pioneer who was stabbed multiple times in the park. And then two of our favorite things, having a hard time finding them in our stores. Learn more about that. We'll come back. Right back.
Regretted I gave you the key to my heart I had locked up for keys. can't look to you for the remedy. I can't get rid of the pain.
Loving, 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 I gave you all of my loving. Was it all for nothing? Felt like it was all for nothing. You don't deserve none of my energy. You and I are nothing but history. You gave it all out to the community. Community, community. It's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming. Now it's time you miss my loving. Now it's time you miss my loving. No, no, I don't want nothing. No, I don't want nothing. Thought you were the one, but you wasn't. Got my heart broken, learn from it. I'm done playing your childish games. I'm the queen and I always reign. See, it's the end and now you're feeling played. I watched your moves and now I'm highly trained. See, hurting you, I have nothing to gain. It's just your time for you to feel the pain. It really hurts to have to be this way. Two hearts felt the ricochet. Loving, 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 I gave you all of my loving.
You
was it all for nothing? Nothing. You don't deserve none of my energy. You and I are nothing but history. You gave it all out to the community. Community, community. It's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming. Now it's time you miss my loving. Now it's time you miss my loving. No, no, I don't want nothing. No, I don't want nothing. You were the one, but you wasn't. Got my heart broken, learn from it.
Nothing more than a man. What's up, y'all? We're Rough Ends.
And you're rocking with the Stephen Knight Show right here.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Don't forget, we're all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. You also watch us on our YouTube channel, Stephen Knight Show. Our 91-year-old civil rights pioneer was stabbed multiple times when she was walking her dog through Boston Park last Wednesday evening with a pup coming to her rescue and injuring the assailant amidst the attack, according to authorities. Jean McGuire, the first Black social worker to work in the Boston public school system, was walking her dog Bailey through the Playstead Park in the Jamaica Plain neighborhood around 8:30 p.m. when an unidentified person approached and stabbed her, according to CBS Boston. The victim and her dog fought off the assailant after she was stabbed multiple times, police say. While McGuire was taken to a nearby hospital for non-life-threatening injuries, preliminary investigation reveals the suspect may have also been injured during the attack. Apparently, the dog, while her friend did an interview and said that she was kicking the man in his crotch while the dog was biting him. And so they believe that he might have had some bite marks on him, but they don't know who it is. They don't even know why it was, they don't know if it was race-related or what the motivation was. But about her, she is a civil rights pioneer, being the first woman of color to be elected to the Boston School Committee. In 1981, she became the first woman of color to be elected to the Boston School Committee and helped found METCO, the Metropolitan Council for Educational Opportunity, a program that started in the 1960s to help desegregate the schools within the city. But they said she fought the person off. She had non-life-threatening injuries. I mean, just imagine a 91-year-old, you don't get this far in life to be stabbed in the park walking your dog. Chike, what are your thoughts about her fighting back, though?
Good for her.
Yeah.
Killed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that dog, shout out to the dog. The dog, because some dogs like to play, you know. But that dog was holding it down. Linnea, what are your thoughts on this?
You know what, I'm just gonna say it. Whoever it was, I hope that his manhood is shredded beyond repair.
Mm-hmm.
And that he drops the soap a lot of times, that he no longer knows what it is to take a dump. Oof. And he can't sit down. And I would like for his esophagus to be stretched out so much that he can't swallow.
Mm.
God bless her. I wish her a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
And because, you know, that's somebody's mother, somebody's grandmother, somebody's great-grandmother. And she's been through some things.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably taken this walk a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And on this day, somebody decided to be Satan's dog.
Mm.
And I hope and I pray that everything that I just said comes to fruition for them.
Well, you know, they said that the assailant, he tried to run away when he was getting attacked by the dog and by this woman, but he couldn't get away initially. And eventually he was able to flee. What would motivate someone to do this?
Desperation.
Yeah.
Desperation. So he got a lot of work to do on himself, but yeah, he got to get that energy back. So I'm happy. I'm happy she was able to make it out of that and continue to live a little bit long, well, more, a little bit longer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I just say one more thing? I have these conversations with Lania quite often. It's this one word that keeps coming to me, and it's audacity. These people in this world are very audacious in some of the acts that they want to do. These school shootings, these attacks on people. You're sitting there, and what is the course of your thinking that makes you decide, oh, I feel like I can do this to this person because whatever reason. And then you decide to, it's very audacious of you. Audacity is going to start getting people killed.
It's true.
Drugs and desperation.
The same audaciousness, right? My friend is running for city council in my hometown. We were having a conversation. She had a get together yesterday. They were talking about things happening around the schools in the city. A parent went up to the school and beat up a principal.
Wow.
Even though her child was in the wrong.
See?
This is what I'm talking about. I can't even.
So let me ask the question, just for all the audacious people out there. That same mindset where a parent goes up to the school to beat up the principal, what if the principal shot that parent point blank in the principal's office when they came to do that? Now what?
Mm-hmm. It blows my mind. I read a story. I don't know where it was, but a 17-year-old girl was fighting a 10-year-old.
Oh my gosh.
And then they both, you know, both the kids, you know, the one mom trying to break it up. And then the 17-year-old's mom comes and the other mom is like, I'm not trying to fight you. Like, my daughter is too young. Like, I'm not.
Right.
The 17-year-old's mom stabbed her dead. Now that 10-year-old little girl ain't got no mom because of you and your 17-year-old daughter. And she wasn't even trying to fight you. All the neighbors were out there. Her daughter just saw her die. Like, I went to go tell my mom I was fighting. She probably felt like it was her fault.
Yeah.
Or the chick that dismembered her landlord because she wasn't paying her rent.
Yeah, evicted. Yeah, I saw that.
Are you kidding me? You paid your rent. You dismembered your landlord, but she had already had issues. I read more into the story. She had threatened a neighbor. They had already called the cops. She'd have been to the nut house. She should have been locked away.
Yeah. Wow. Well, switching gears, so I can't believe it's not butter. They said the first was a shortage of ketchup, chicken thighs, chicken wings, and now a shortage of butter. According to New York Post, data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the amount of butter sitting in the U.S. storage facilities in August fell 10% month over month. However, it's down 22% compared to the same time a year ago. Midwest butter makers say that the spot loads of cream are very tight to unavailable. And the Northeast retail butter demands are picking up, but tight inventories are causing some producers to regulate supplies across existing orders. Now the USDA reports that also stated that there were 282 million pounds of butter in warehouses last month, but that's down from 362 million across 2021. The inflation still is on the rise and the cost of groceries increased is almost 14%, but butter increased by nearly 25%. And last year we had the ketchup shortage. I'm just saying, thank God I eat vegan butter. But Chica, what can you live without your butter?
Honestly, I can. it may not sound right, but I'm a margarine fan. I like margarine. I was raised on margarine. My grandma pulled out the margarine. Margarine has a little bit more taste to it than butter for me. So sorry, butter lovers. But you said something about chicken wings. That's a problem for me.
Well, chicken, okay. And I have a issue with some of these restaurants. There was a shortage of chicken wings. I'm a wing connoisseur. And I mean, you could get the same amount of wings. And it was like double the price. But wing shortages started to come. It's gotten better. And the wing is still expensive. They think they're slick. Oh, not yet. This butter. Do you eat butter? Did you gonna miss out? What? Thanksgiving's around.
I don't know if you guys know I'm a raw foodist, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'm a raw foodist. I think Chicken might have known this. I became a raw foodist last April.
Okay.
Yeah, I became a complete raw foodist. So I don't eat butter. I don't eat anything that's processed or cooked, actually. So I'm drinking my spring water now. But yeah, I've been a raw foodist since then.
Oh, wow. What made you do that?
Overall health benefits. I've been studying it for a while, and I just decided to do it during last Ramadan. I started it during Ramadan, and I asked God to make it easy for me. And sure enough, it was easy. I took off, you know? Okay. So yeah, you know, I've inspired a few people around me to do certain things, but the butter don't affect me. I don't even eat it.
You don't have an issue.
I don't have an issue. But I know a lot of people will have.
Right. What about you, Lydia?
First thing, Naya, you're going to have to talk to me about this raw foodist thing. I will let you know about it, you know, later. I have switched over to vegan butter. So I don't do regular butter or margarine anymore. And I had, you know, filtered away from doing it in my food. And, you know, it's little changes that I've made. But I mean, I love my vegan butter. It's the same to me.
It tastes the same to me.
So I know that chicken wings have become ridiculous. Because when I go, you know, I'm a chicken connoisseur too, Steve.
Right.
And we got a good chicken wing over here.
Exactly.
And you know, I'll be looking at these prices and I'm like, well, then what is this filet mignon? Like, what is going on? Like,
crazy.
Y'all charging me for these chicken wings, and especially if it's not the whole wing. Like, you giving me this little crackhead chicken wing,
right?
The whole thing with, because I'd be hungry and I need that whole wing. And we be getting cheated, but y'all keep it up with these prices. I just paid like $20 for like 12 wings.
Uh-huh. You know, there's this lounge out here. I won't say the name and put them on blast. I do like the lounge, but they have wings there. They're literally this big. I was saying to one of my friends, if I were a waiter, I'd be embarrassed bringing this out because they're so small.
No. True story. Linnea and I just went to go eat, and I ordered on the menu. It said, "What did it say, Linnea?"
It said big,
dark,
damn rooster wings or something like that.
Rooster wings. You know, the rooster is the biggest chicken. The wing was literally that big.
Yep.
It said, what's this? What's that with the
menu? Every time. That's me every time. Well, listen, we complain about wings and butter, but also crab legs, no crab legs. It's
limited. I'm protesting. We'll be going. I'm protesting.
But listen.
Yeah, I can draw a line somewhere.
The mystery is no one knows why. So the first time in history, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has canceled the winter snow crab season in Burland Sea due to limited availability, resulting in low numbers. It reports that nearly a billion have disappeared in 2 years, and no one seems to know why. An estimated 1 billion crabs have mysteriously disappeared in 2 years, state officials said. It marks a 90% drop in their population. Now, Ben Daly, he's a researcher with ADF&G, investigating the situation, and says that disease could be one reason to blame for the disappearance of crabs. He also says that climate control could be a reason. Environmental conditions are changing rapidly. We've seen warm conditions in the Bering Sea in the last couple of years, and we're seeing a response in poet adapted species. So it's pretty obvious this is connected. It is a carnary and a coal mine for other species that need cold water. So I saw this on CBS Mornings, and they were saying people don't really know why these crabs are leaving, but those are some of the reasons why they think. And it's interesting because I used to have crab leg Tuesdays, and then crabs have been expensive all since the pandemic. And so they were actually lower in my grocery store last week. I just looked at them. And so when I saw this story, I went to the grocery store to see if they went up. They sure did. The price went up for the crab legs. Now you know this doesn't affect you at all. But what is this? A billion crabs are gone.
That's crazy. I did used to like crab legs. I did used to like them a lot. And I used to eat them with butter.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I did. That is strange. That's strange. It reminds me of that period of time when they were finding those dead animals just in mass. That is a strange phenomenon. So probably does have a lot to do with some disease, some sort of a wipeout. But then again, it also might be something else. But that's strange. It's strange.
That is strange. Not, Chike, do you do crab legs? Eat crab legs?
I eat them, but you know, I don't necessarily have to have them. I kind of take my dad's mindset. It's a lot of work for too much little. It's a little bit of meat.
I'm a pro.
Good. It's a delicacy. I do like them, but I don't have to have them.
Yeah.
But as to what's happening in the world, I saw online today this gentleman. He lived in Mississippi. He went to the Mississippi River, and the river had receded to the point where there was sand. And he said, as long as I've been alive, I've never seen the Mississippi River with sand beach. Mm-hmm. So the world's changing. And if people aren't waking up and grasping a hold of that, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. So not only are your crabs and your butters and chickens going to change, where we live is going to change, how you live is going to change. Things are going to get more expensive because the way of life, as we know it, is going to change.
I know.
It's coming. Mm-hmm.
Linnea.
Emotional for me. Because crab legs are dear to my heart. Ooh. And, you know, I feel some type of way because they play a very, very special role in my life. And I just want to say that at some point, I'm going to have to go to Crack Crab because that's my favorite place to go. And just make sure that I could become one with some. Now that's when I eat some butter. I ain't gonna lie, because they ain't got no vegan butter. But you know, I am a crab leg girl.
Yes.
And I can't have this now. You know, I suffered with the chicken wings now.
Right.
Don't do this with these crab legs, because you know I'm trying my best. Yes. That's why my mother keep torturing me. We're going vegan. Uh-huh. Like. But I wouldn't know what to do with my life if I couldn't have crab legs. I'm not gonna lie. I don't get them all the time. So when I treat myself, she ain't know. I put my bib on, I got my gloves on. I'm going in. So and I don't like getting them from the grocery store. So I am, because I do feel like they're more expensive there.
Yeah.
But yeah, if this is true, you know, I'm gonna have a talk with Jesus tonight, probably.
Yes. Well, hopefully we can get some crab legs soon. Well, not yet, you know. Well, listen, Linnea and Naya, thank you again for Hot Topics. Appreciate your time. Hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you again next Monday. Right back after this.
Feelings changed. Seems as though you looked inside of me, turned my dreams into reality. But as the story goes, lessons are meant to be told. It was never you that I needed, but the strength I didn't see within me. Feelings ain't right, I pushed them aside, but I didn't wanna sleep. What a cheap price tag. One night stay, you're scared away. Energy strain, the price I pay. Diamonds say bling, 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 but they can't feel me. Feel me. Shoes make me tall, but who will catch me when I fall?
Like
back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, is it still wet and cold up there?
I had just started getting wet and cold, actually. Mm-hmm. We were pretty good this weekend, up in the 70s, beautiful weather, and then today is the cold, wet coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll
it was a nice day today until the evening.
You said what now?
It was a nice day for the most part today until the evening.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting the cold tomorrow.
Yeah, we had clouds most of the morning and then a little bit cleared up and then went back to clouds. But yeah, it's not the worst.
Yeah. All right. I'll let you all get going with movie views.
Sure thing. So the movie I saw this weekend was a latest Netflix release. It's actually in the theaters earlier at the end of September, but it just came out this weekend or just more recently, called Luckiest Girl Alive. And this is a film starring Mila Kunis based on a book of the same name. And it's a kind of a mystery thriller that follows this girl who is about to get married. She's kind of reimagined herself since high school and kind of done the kind of fake it till you make it thing. But lots of factors are coming up recently that relate to her time in high school when a few incidents happened. And so as she's trying to navigate getting married or getting ready to get married, all these things come back to her from her high school and her past. And there's a lot of different factors, a lot of kind of intense things, so I don't want to spoil it too much, but all those come bubbling up and how she has to kind of resolve those issues in the past, and us as an audience get to see what happens, what was this traumatic incident, what triggered all these things that she keeps thinking about. And the film does a job where it kind of shows you her in the modern day and then flashing back to those incidents and going back and forth between her high school self and her current self as the story goes along. And I thought it was pretty good. It's definitely one of those intense movies. There's a lot going on. There is a lot of heavy subject matter involved in this, but Mila Kunis, which we haven't seen in a while, I feel like has done a great job in this film and really like ups the intensity and the complexities of her character. So definitely it's a recommend, but it is one of those, you know, be aware there's a lot of things going on, a lot of material. So if you're unsure about it, you know, read a little bit about it online before you hop into it. But otherwise, yeah, this is a good one. And then besides that, I've just been, you know, catching up on shows. Andor still impresses. Abbott Elementary still doing great. And, you know, just kind of the sitcoms are back, so it's fun to get back into them.
I love Abbott Elementary, especially that principal. She is hilarious.
Exactly.
I love her.
Yeah.
So, you know what I watched. I saw Halloween and Jamie Lee Curtis, and it's the final film of the Halloween series that has been around for like a million years. So, I was wondering what they were going to do for the final Halloween movie. I have to say, it was a little confusing, but at the same time, it was very different. They really took you around a bend and told a different kind of story to tell you the ending. And surprisingly enough, the underlying current, how they pulled it all together, the underlying current of all the Halloween films is about mental illness. And when it was framed and put together that way, it made me want to watch the series again. And of course, there are certain movies that are in between that you can just omit. So if you think about the first Halloween, the second Halloween, and you think about any of the ones that Jamie Lee Curtis was directly involved with, you can put all those together and then you make it to the end and then you can see the arc of the true story of Halloween. The other ones were just slasher movies, but the ones that she was involved in as it related to the Michael and Laurie storyline, you can see that mental wellness, that mental illness thread. I thought it was pretty decent. And I had to give a head nod to them for ending it the way that they ended it. I thought it was pretty decent. And something that we talked about in another segment about a certain individual and how can they be the way that they are with society the way that it is. And you cannot continue to be a negative influence if the community is not accepting. The community has to stand up and the community has to reject you in order for there to be a difference. And I'm not going to say too much more about the movie, but I thought it was a good watch and I thought it was a good ending to a series.
I started watching it because, you know, it came out on Peacock Thursday. And I fell asleep on it. But isn't that because it wasn't a good movie? I was just tired. But yeah, but I'm going to watch it. I love scary movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm still watching Let the Right One In on Showtime, which is getting better. And Interview with the Vampire, which is getting better. And what else am I watching? There's a new, I forget the name of it. There's a new series on Amazon that I started watching. I think it's called Primas. And it's about a set of twins in high school and then their friends that are surrounding them. And they keep jumping back and forth in their high school years. So they're jumping 2 years in the past to present. And maybe, I think the most years that they went in the past was five, because they're trying to show you how the relationships mature as you get into high school and the different personalities and how they're transforming into these adults that they're going to be and how they all relate to each other. And it's pretty decent. And again, people may think, you know, you're watching something about high school children, but children today aren't really children as we knew children to be. They're far more advanced than what a lot of adults like to think that they are. And this show is pretty good because it centers around identical twins and they're very different, but they're identical. And one is trying to find his way with social anxiety. And the other one is realizing that he may want to transition and how he's trying to cope with that and hiding it down amongst the friends. And then how the friends interact with both of them related to the other friends that are involved in their circle. It's pretty interesting and it keeps me engaged. So I'm gonna ride it out.
Nice.
Nice.
And then things that are good series that are on and I just have not tackled and I have no good reason why I have not started watching them, like, let's see, Lord of the Rings. I haven't really tackled. I think I watched maybe the first episode and it's good. I'm not saying, you know, it's turning me off. I have to really sit there and concentrate on it because those things are very involved. Is that one in the House of Dragon? I have to really get involved because of the history and the legacy of the stories. You really owe it some attention in order to absorb it the proper way.
Yep. Yeah, you get lost easily too if you don't know what the heck's going on, but they talk so much.
Yeah. Oh, and finally, The Walking Dead is ending. Like, if it hadn't ended already, but it's ending probably like this week or next week, or very soon, we're in the last episodes. And I had stopped watching that a while ago, but that show's been on for like 1,000 years.
Yeah, I didn't know it still came on.
Oh, yeah, still coming on. And they have a spinoff called Fear of the Walking Dead, which I started watching and subsequently stopped watching because it started boring me, but it's still around.
Hmm. Well, I saw a movie Saturday. It's called The Curse of Bridge Hollow. It's on Netflix with
I want to see it. It looks stupid, but it looks funny.
Oh, I thought you were laughing at me because of my reviews.
No. I was wondering if you saw this movie because I was like, this is up Steven's alley. But go ahead. I'll let you talk about it. It's a Marlon Wayans movie.
Marlon Wayans and Kelly Rowland are the parents. They move from the city to this town, Bridge Hollow. For the dad, Marlon Wayans, he is a science teacher. So they moved to the new school and that's why they moved out of there from Brooklyn. And so the real star of the movie is the daughter. Because I think it's a teenage type movie, although there are some cousins in there. And so the town they move in celebrates Halloween like people celebrate Christmas. I mean, everything decorates, whatever. And it's like this, so the girl's playing in an attic and she finds this treasure chest or some stuff or whatever. And so it brings all these ghosts to life. So all of the town's Halloween decorations come to life and attack the people. And so she has to figure out how, and her dad helps us. Marlon, he has a huge, he's big in the movie too. Kelly Rowland, she's the mom, but she's not in every scene, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they have to determine how to find the spell to make everything go back to normal. But it's a good little movie. It's a good little movie, you know. It's something the family could watch, you know.
Yeah, and as Marlon Wayans, he's a science teacher, so he doesn't believe in all the Halloween. He doesn't do the decorations. He's like, this is all silly, and then things come to life, and
yeah. He doesn't believe in any because he's a science person.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. This is not true. And she and his daughter tells him, "Dad, because it makes sense to me, it's not happening. Look."
Yeah,
but it is. It's a good little movie. It's only 1 hour and 30 minutes. Perfect for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just a good little, you know, holiday movie.
Yeah.
That's all. Anything coming down the pipeline?
You talked about the movie I wanted to see next. So I'd have to take a look and see what else we got going on.
So I just found out maybe 2 hours ago that they are revisiting A Christmas Story, but it's modern day and Ralphie is an adult.
Mm. And they're going to do
that November 17, and I think it's going to premiere on HBO. Because HBO's involved, I know it's going to be quality, and the way that the trailer goes is pretty much they're showing you like screenshots of the past movie, and they're giving you sound bites, and then they show an adult Ralphie, but they don't show him in his entirety. They show like a quarter of his face and him putting his glasses on and that smile, but he's clearly an adult. Mm-hmm. And then to a picture of him and his brother in the snow.
You'll shoot your eye out.
So I'm suspecting that now Ralphie has his own family and he has to now deal with his own children. I wonder if those actors that played his parents are still alive.
I know.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I have to research that when I get off here.
Yeah.
And of course, Wakanda Forever. And I saw a trailer, and yes. I do believe one of my favorite characters is going to be introduced in this movie, and it's Sub-Mariner. I do believe that was Sub-Mariner.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have new characters in this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, as always, thank you for letting us know what to spend our time and money on and whatnot. And have a great week.
All right, thanks a lot.
Right back after this.
Dream of you, thinking maybe my dream may come true. I know it's crazy when I whisper your name, but it's lately I think I see your face again. But it's just a dream, although it seems real and true, the sight of you. But I was wrong, you are gone and I'm all alone. I'm missing you. My heart longs to feel your love again, and my soul weeps. Oh, for the lifetime we planned. See, although my days flood, with your memories so deep. But at night they drown, drown in the tears I cry to sleep. I sleep for the dream,
for the dream,
because there it seems real and true,
real and true,
the sight of you. But I was wrong, because you're still gone and I'm all alone. I'm missing you. Please, baby, 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 oh, oh, please come back to me. I'm so sorry. Would you please just talk to me? See, I know I'm messed up, and I know you're fed up, yeah. But we can't give up, no, no, we can't give up on the dream.
On the dream,
it still seems real and true.
Real and true.
Me with you, see, I know I was wrong.
I was wrong.
But come back home,
come back home,
where you belong.
You belong
right next to me. Don't give up on the dream.
On the dream.
On the dream. No, 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 no.
On the dream.
Please don't walk out the door, babe. No. See, I know we can make it if we try. Just try. So I'm begging, please.
Begging, please.
Please don't leave.
Please don't leave.
Don't give up
on the dream.
I'm down on my knees, begging.
Begging, please.
Please don't leave.
Please don't leave.
Don't you dare give up
on the dream.
Oh, 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 oh. So don't give up on our dream, our dream, yeah. Yeah, you know I love you,
baby,
and I need you. So I'll never give up on our dream. Oh, oh no, no. Fight for the ups, the downs, yeah. The smile, the frowns, through the good, the bad, the happy and sad. I believe in the dream. The dream, I'll never give up.
Welcome back to the Steve and I Show. Hey, Ron Cosby, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you. Happy Monday to you.
Yes.
So what is going on in the wonderful world of sports?
First, I got to say this, man. People, vote. Vote, vote, vote.
Yes.
Early voting started. Please vote. Seriously, vote. You know, whoever you vote for, you know, whatever. But just vote, please.
Right.
Please. It's very serious.
Very important.
Yes. Man, I got to talk about the Falcons tonight. I mean, first of all, let me go back. I got to talk about the Ravens tonight.
The Ravens?
The Baltimore Ravens. I want to give a shout out to the Falcons, though. They won. They're 3-3. They are right now. They in the NFC South. I mean, they're right there with Tampa Bay. You know what I'm saying? So it's
they beat the 49ers 28-14.
Yeah. 28. You know that 28 number usually is bad for the Falcons, but it turned out good.
Right.
All right. Oh, Braves, you know, they, I don't know if you heard, the Braves are out of the playoffs.
Oh, really?
The Phillies beat them, yeah, 3 games to 1. Yeah,
that's all y'all talking about last week.
Yeah, yeah, it's a wrap. So my grandmother's probably distraught.
Yeah,
I gotta call her to
check. I know when they lost game 2, everyone's a little concerned, but they're like, you know, they did that last time.
They won game one.
They lost game one.
Game one, game two, then lost 3 and 4. Yeah. All right, Baltimore Ravens.
Yes. They lost to the Jets. Giants. 24-20.
Lost 24-20. Mm-hmm. Had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and they lost the game. They've been doing this consistently. Y'all, this is my squad. This is why I'm saying this, because I care. Y'all need to get y'all shit together. I don't know what's going on. The penalties were just ridiculous. The discipline is not there. Where is the leadership? Somebody needs to step up. This team has no leader. There's no leadership. Come on. Hold on. Look at my lock. It's kind of, see, even my lock is pissed off. It's going crazy.
Right.
Anyway, but yeah. Lamar, this is your squad, brother. This is your team. I'm going to need you to step up. Get these guys together in the locker room, whatever. This is not acceptable. This is unacceptable. Speaking of Lamar, I got mad respect for this brother. Amazing athlete, amazing quarterback. Mm-hmm. But he made some really questionable plays. Late in that game. Mm-hmm. And I just got to keep it real. Like, you know, throwing that interception when he really should have just threw the ball away, man, just throw it out of bounds. Like, why are you, you're throwing it into coverage. And that pretty much sealed it. Like, he was intercepted and the momentum was already kind of shifted anyway, but that pretty much sealed it. And the Giants went on ahead and scored a touchdown, and that was pretty much it. And then they got the ball back, the Ravens did, and then Lamar ended up fumbling the ball and the Giants got the ball back and just ran the clock out. And that was it. But coaching is players. It's a combination, and I just need leadership. I need the players to, I need some leadership. And I also need the coaches. Steven, I'm tired of hearing coaches saying that kind of standard BS talk, like, we gotta, go back to the drawing board, X's and O's, brother, call it, call it 100, keep it real. Keep it real, call some people out, call the offensive, if it's the coordinator, whatever, well, maybe not call them out because you don't, have some, show some passion.
Right, yeah.
Show some passion. Show that you give a damn.
Right.
That's all. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got, man, with sports. Like, brother, it's frustrating, man. It really is. Like, it's like you just go ebbs and flows. You'd be excited the first half. They be balling. Like, oh, okay, we got this. And then they just – and you can literally feel it, Stephen. You can feel the momentum shifting.
Yeah,
with this team, and it shouldn't be this way. They could easily be 6-0, man. Like, this, they got the talent. It's just the discipline isn't there. The execution isn't there, and the leadership isn't there. And it's got to be addressed. It's got to be addressed. So, and also some of the play calls probably also. So again, coaching that also has to be dealt with also. So anyway, that's all I got, man. Me and my lock. We about to, chill.
All right, hey, bro. Well, thanks as always. Perspective, and have a great week.
All right, man. Thank you. Same to you.
Right back after this.
Woke up and noticed you weren't there. It should be you, the one I see when I wake, yeah. Playing every moment over in my head. Why? Tell me why you're not here. Speculations, don't know what's happened, but set up forevers, they became nevers. What we doing? Is this what you really want? Speculation, hearts bleeding. Thought we'd be for always. That's what you promised. Now you say you don't want it. Is there someone else? Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me how you feel. What's the deal? No bullshit. Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me how you feel. Pick up the phone. Just need a minute. Some things don't add up the way we left it. 9 years could have done more. A lifetime's what I was going for. Speculations, don't know what's happened, but set up forevers, they became nevers. What we doing? Is this what you really want?
Everybody, it's me, Will Downing. Yeah, listen, I got some new music out, and we're going to talk about it on the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. Tonight, we're highlighting Pat McGrath's Labs. Now, Pat makes some of the most luxurious makeup products with her long list of celebrity supporters. She's one of the most loved makeup artists. Check the bio of this video and click on the link and learn out more about Pat McGrath's Labs. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Hope you had enjoyed the show. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Tonight is all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand. Head to the floor.